At that time, when Jesus was come, he looked over the city of Jerusalem and wept over it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus wept as he looked over the city of Jerusalem. And what was that time? It was the time of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It was what we remember on Palm Sunday, when the Lord Jesus came to the shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to in the highest, proclaiming him as rightful King of the Jews. And here came the Prince of Peace into the city, not riding upon a stallion as a conqueror, but instead meek and lowly, having all power and authority, but in meekness, riding on a donkey into the city of peace, Jerusalem, Salem, peace. And as he comes to the city of peace, as the rightful King of peace, he looks over the city and weeps, because it does not know the hour of his visitation. The king himself is coming, but they don't recognize him as the king. The God of the city is coming. They don't recognize him as God. And he comes to the temple, and as he had done previously in his ministry, he cleanses the temple of those who have made it a den of thieves, because it is to be a house of prayer. But there are some who have come to profane the sacred and are turning to that which is secular, the place that is to be a holy place and a place of prayer. And so in righteous anger, he cleanses the temple. And we have this as our gospel lesson today. Now, some might think, wait, this is we had this gospel lesson, the Lord coming into Jerusalem to the shouts of Hosanna, as the first gospel lesson in Advent. And it is an Advent theme, right? To be ready for the Lord's coming. Well, you've heard of Christmas in July. This is Advent in August. It's just a little reminder to us that Jesus is coming again. As we say in the Creed, and he will come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead. Jesus is coming again to judge the world, and we need to prepare for his coming. And we can take a lesson from the historical event of his weeping over Jerusalem and his prophecy of the historical event of the destruction of Jerusalem, which did occur in AD 70, when Titus was commanded by his father, the emperor of Rome, to destroy and lay waste Jerusalem and to wipe out the entire population, all men, women, and children. And Josephus, the historian, says there were 1.1 million people that were killed in that siege and following battle. And the Romans put fire to the city and then pulled the buildings down. There was not one stone left upon another. The only thing left that we have today is the retaining wall of the temple, which is now the Wailing Wall. So that is the judgment that happens to those who are not ready for the Lord's visitation. We see that too will come at the end times. When Jesus comes again, there will be some that are not ready for him to come again. And they will not be expecting the king to arrive in his power. There will be at the second coming, when he comes in the clouds with great power and glory. When these things happen, there will be men's hearts failing them for fear. People having heart attacks because of the destruction that's happening upon the earth. Why? Because that's where their treasure is. Their treasure is on the earth. They are looking at things of the earth. They are idolaters who are worshiping false gods. And those temples that they have built to the false gods, as they are destroyed, their hearts will break. And their hopes will be dashed. They will experience the sadness of the tragic consequences of those who deny the one true God, who do not hear his gentle appeal, who do not call on his mercy and seek him. Now, it's a day of reckoning. And what are we to make of that? In our own lives, in the Christian way, we are to see the invitation of God as one given by a God who is love, who stands at the door of our hearts and knocks like a patient lover, asking that he might come in. And we are to open the door of our hearts that he might come in, through faith and the sacraments of the church, that he might indwell us, that this body of ours may be now a temple of the Holy Spirit, that we would be sanctified by that loving God, redeemed. We live a penitential life. We are repentant. We repent of our sins that we may be forgiven and experience salvation. And so we make this part of our hymnody of the church, this expectation that God will cleanse, renew, restore us, that he will come into us and now give us new life and new hope. Come now, my sovereign, enter in. Come now, my sovereign, enter in. Make new and nobler life begin. This is the posture of a Christian in this time, for now is the day of salvation, and not knowing when Christ will come again, we are to prepare our hearts and get ready even today, not knowing the moment, we are to be ready at all moments. And so we are to make our hearts ready for the coming of the King, that when he comes to visit this temple, the temple of our bodies, he will find that it's not given to secular employ, that it's not profaned, but rather that it's a holy place, a place fit for him to dwell, and that he is Lord over it, and we recognize him as such. When these things come to pass, Jesus says to you, the faithful, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And it is a day of hope and expectation. We await the coming of the Lord as with great rejoicing when he comes. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. We await the fullness of the kingdom that he will pour out and establish when he comes again, a new heavens and a new earth for those who are Christ's, that we may be ushered into the joys of heaven. So now is the time for us to prepare our hearts, to make ready for the coming of the King. Again, Advent in August. But I want to tell you, I heard a beautiful story of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. She became one of the most popular saints in the 20th century, early at the turn of the last century. And she was from a small town in northern France. She died very young, in her 20s. She was a Carmelite sister. But she wrote a story of her life, and it became an international bestseller. People wanted to know more about her life of prayer. And she had a great devotion to Jesus Christ, a true love of him. And there was a story told by a Carmelite sister at a retreat that I attended this summer. And she spoke about St. Thérèse of Lisieux, who had heard of an idea that was circulating in the monastic houses in her day, that some of the monks and nuns wanted to become what they called a victim of the justice of God. A victim of the justice of God. Have anyone ever heard of being a victim of justice? The idea would be that they would, in a noble way, take the punishment that God's wrath would pour out on another. They would take that place of that sinner that was going to experience wrath. Anybody heard of that before? Well, I guess it's not an idea that really stuck. Right? Some ideas do. We call those Catholic doctrine. Believed everywhere, always, and by all. A lot of times there are fanciful ideas that come and they you know, have a flash, like a flash in the pan, and they go away. Thérèse didn't think it was a good idea. Thérèse of Lisieux. When she heard that idea, that somebody would become a victim of God's wrath, of justice, she said it didn't comport with her idea of who Jesus is and how she knew him from the scriptures and how she knew him from the prayers. And this is helpful to us. We are to know Jesus in the sacraments, in the scriptures, in our prayers. A life of prayer where we are companions with Christ, where he is daily sought after, where he comes and visits us. Right? Today is the day of visitation. We are visited today in the sacrament of Holy Communion, Christ making himself present to us, fully and completely under the forms of bread and wine, now consecrated to be his body and blood. We are visited by Christ in this moment. And we are to make regular appointments with Christ to get to know him. If I wake up in the morning, I can begin my day with a prayer and have a discipline of morning prayer, evening prayer. To read the scriptures becomes fuel for me. It's like sustenance to my soul. Like I need to eat, I need the word of God too, for my soul to chew upon, to inwardly digest, to transform me and to change me. So all these things are ways that we can be visited by Christ now and be ready to receive him. And Thérèse of Lisieux knew this. She was living that life. And so when she heard that idea that came whistling through, to stand as a sacrificial offering for the wrath that God would pour upon somebody, she was like, no, who Jesus is. It's not who she knew Jesus to be from her companionship with him or Christ she knew in the sacramental life or in the scriptures. But she thought about it and she told her sisters, you know, there are some who want to establish themselves to be a victim of wrath, of God's justice. Well, I want to be a victim too. I want to be a sacrificial offering for his love. And in her idea, it would be to give herself entirely and completely as an act of self-oblation to God. As we articulate in the Mass, that our life would be an offering of prayer and praise, a living sacrifice. She would open herself entirely to God, and all the love that he would pour upon others who weren't receiving it, he could pour it upon her. Because you know, there are a lot of people that aren't receiving God's love right now. They're closed off to it. They're worshiping the things of the creation, but not the Creator. They're set up idols in their own heart. They're ignoring God. She said she would open herself to God's love, that he would, whatever love he would be pouring upon one that wouldn't receive it, she would receive that love until she was filled to overflowing and that love could go out to others. That's the prayers of a saint. Let us hear them today. Let us consider our own lives, that it too may be an offering of love to God and a life that is receptive to his grace and to his love. Let us hear the words of the saints, and may we be sanctified in our own lives and answer the high calling that God has placed upon each one of us to be a saint of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.